The business model that we've had for the past couple of 100 years has worked well for us. You know, the Industrial Revolution sort of worked well for us, but it's not really working for us anymore. We cannot have infinite economic growth on a finite planet. We cannot keep on turning the last of free nature into products and concrete and think that we will thrive. And that's actually the cause of most of the problems. You know, I've been thinking green since 1972. It's quite a long time. That's when the Club of Rome, a group of European scientists, came together to forecast the future in a way, you know, looking at the increasing population, increasing use of resources, increasing pollution, and making a graph with those old-fashioned big computers, and they predicted that we would be in a crisis just round about now. And we've already been in a crisis for the past couple of years, and we will be in this crisis for many years to come unless we change our ways. And so, yeah, normal is over.
Current high-tech society is based on a faith in technology that it will find ways for us to adapt and to use resources in ways that have not been done before. You're positing something of a Malthusian trap, that a limited number of resources will eventually be reached. How close are we to reaching the limit of the planet?
We keep on turning the last of nature into products and services, with the story that politicians like us to believe that with you know, more growth and more products, we will be happier. To come to your question, you know, you can see there is no more economic growth. The forecasts are, you know, this is maybe 1% growth, and the interest is low, and then they try and bring the interest down to get more growth. They're sort of squeezing the last bits of oil out of this planet. They can't get it anymore. You know, they're trying to look at find it in the on Arctic. It's not just about products. You know, we may be able to have a circular economy in the future, which is now the buzzword here in Europe, and I'm not so sure about the United States, but so that we reuse the available resources. But if you reuse the resources and you keep adding more products to the cycle, there's still growth. And then we haven't talked about the fact that climate change is a symptom of the pollution that we've created. But even more worrying for me or for many people is the fact that, you know, in 2015, 40% of all wild animals were extinct. Now, 5 years later, 60% of all wild animals are extinct. 70% of all insects are extinct in Europe. Soon we will have no more bees. They're trying to make with technology some fake bees that could maybe pollinate all of the fruits and vegetables that we rely upon. But that's not going to work, you know. And we have all the technology right now to live beautiful on this planet, provided we understand what we're doing to this planet. The well-being of our planet should be number one in every action that we take. It's not just about resources and products, it's about the living nature around us that we've turned it into concrete, or we turn it into monocultures, and we talk about pests as if some insects or animals are not part of the ecosystem. So our narrative really needs to change.
Without monocropping, however, it's unclear whether present crop production could feed the people that are here now and growth in human population continues. How do we get out of that trap?
Well, I think there's a huge niche market for large-scale organic agriculture, for instance. We need to restore the soil because the soil has been polluted by pesticides and herbicides, and we need to turn that around. And actually, the amount of products that come from the soil if you use organic farming is twice the amount of products that you get from you know, the monocultures and the spraying with Roundup and yeah,
I
because
hear.
we basically then poison the soil. But if we fertilize the soil, if we have good soil, good topsoil, we can have far more products than we have now.
I haven't heard that argument about yields. Most conventional wisdom right now is that without petrochemical fertilizers, yields would drastically fall.
Yes, that's what they make you believe. That's
What
what the big companies make you believe.
what's
That's
the
the
evidence
research.
otherwise? What's
Sorry?
the evidence? What's the evidence otherwise?
The evidence is that from organic farming, you get twice the produce than you get apart from the fact that it's bad we've always lived beautiful on this planet for the up until maybe 200 years ago. The whole idea that you poison the planet to get more yield, doesn't it sound a bit weird to you as well? I mean, in it's it, and then we and it's just it's it you it can it may work for a little bit, but not for on the long time, for long term. We need to understand that we have a small, shallow topsoil on this whole planet, and that we need to nurture that and not poison it with fertilizers. Because apart from poisoning the soil, the runoff into the oceans causes ocean acidification, which in turn causes the fish to die and red algae bloom. You know, you can't just poison one piece of the planet and think that it creates more yield because it's a quick, instant fix. There's a reason why people on track spray the poison from planes, because it's highly poisonous and it contaminates the whole environment. It doesn't just kill the pests, quote unquote, that eat the monocultures. It kills everything else. It kills the bees. It kills the butterflies. That's not the natural way for providing food.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're speaking with Renée Scheltema, the journalist and documentary producer of Normal Is Over, showing at the Normal Theater and at Illinois Wesleyan University. You've started a line of argument that let's explore now, that money is an idea, that extractive ways of doing things should be changed. It's something of an indictment of capitalism. What is a good substitute?
I'm not saying that we should really substitute our current system. I think our current system is fine for things where we can use competition, like in computers, or competition into creating more solar energy, or competition to finding more sustainable batteries. That's fine. But we shouldn't have competition in saving the planet for environmentalists. We shouldn't have competition in taking care of the elderly. We shouldn't have competition in healthcare. We shouldn't have competition in, you know, things that are important for the quality of our lives. And so for those areas, we could have a complementary currency, a currency that is taking care of the well-being of the people and not to forget animals and nature, instead of the extractive model that we have now. And so when Normal Is Over, I very clearly, I mean, most documentaries are just about the drama, right? And I really wanted to make a documentary offering solutions on many different levels. So there's something for a poor person in Detroit, and there's something that if you work for the IMF, you can also do something on a macroeconomic level. The future that a lot of people envision is that we have a more balanced system, that we have the current system, which is fine for many things, but also a parallel universe where we have a different currency, say, to help people out of poverty. There's lots of good things that we can do and that we need to do, because poverty is very much linked to overpopulation. You cannot in Africa, the population is growing at a very rapid rate, but if you have less poverty, you will have less children. And so a currency that combats poverty would be very welcome. And you know, the current system is really, it's thought of by men 200 years ago, white colonialist men who thought we could forever expand. And it's a very patriarchal system, and we need to move to a complementary matriarchal system where we have planet Earth as number one in our thinking and not call it an externality. So we make money and we
externalize the costs, yes.
Yeah.
So how can these different currencies, one for poverty, one for the elderly, one for the environment, how do they interact? How do they mesh with the capitalist idea of money that you say should be preserved for things like technological advances?
Yes. Well, this would be the subject of another documentary I would really like to make. Your question, I would love to answer, but I'm in the middle of research. I can't say it in a few simple words just yet. All I can say is that one of the currencies should have actually negative interest. So if you don't, currently we always make money with money, right? With positive interest, and the rich get richer because of interest and compound interest. And everyone wants more money, and we seem to really actually kill ourselves for money, because money is without it, we seem to be dispirited. And yet, if you create money which is the opposite sort of concept, where if you don't spend it, it will lose its value. So if you don't spend it on the regeneration of nature, it will lose its value. You create a very different world, and you don't create competition, you create cooperation. And so it's like 180 degrees different ways of thinking than what we've been taught. Everybody thinks that our current economic system is like a law of physics, and that this is the way it is. And it's just a story, and it's not working for us anymore.
Social incentives to work collectively, where do they come from? Do they come from the government level? Do they come from each individual? How do we re-envision society so that this gets traction?
Yeah. Yes. So far, initiatives have all been from the ground up. The governments feel threatened. They do not understand it, or they do not care to understand it, but it's changing. You know, I know a country where they actually imprisoned the guy who started the complementary currency, and then they accepted it after all, and then they released him. So the governments are per se not the ones who create change. Change comes from bottom up, and then the governments respond. They're not that proactive in general, and also they, you know, they only there for a short term, for 4 years, and so the long term vision is limited. So yeah, I see changes from the bottom up, but not coming from the government for now.
What are some of the moves that individuals and groups of people can make that you show in your film Normal Is Over to start changing the way things are done?
So these complementary currencies are just one of the many, many, many solutions that exist out there. You know, but first we have to understand that climate change is not a problem in itself, and that we can fix it with renewable energy and then everything will be fine. We need to understand that that climate change is a symptom and not a problem in itself. We also need to understand that the species extinction is also a symptom of our system and not a problem in itself. That the rich getting richer, I mean, now already, I think it's numbers change, but 26 people own as much wealth as half of the world. And next year it will be maybe 10 people, and maybe Jeff Bezos will own the whole world in 10 years. But these are all symptoms. So what people can do is there are many things you can do. You can put solar energy on your roof. You can vote for a Green Party. You can regenerate nature. You can plant trees. There's so many things that you can do apart from creating a complementary currency, because that's a complicated thing for a lot of people, and it's only, you know, it's only starting now, and how they are all going to connect, that's the next challenge. But that's only one of the many solutions. I mean, universal basic income is an idea. We need to tax the resources, not people. We need to tax the rich. We need to maybe change our system where the shareholders determine the fact that corporations need to forever grow. And because there are corporations who want to change, and then they come back with this argument, yeah, our shareholders want to make more profit, and so we can't change. So that whole model may have to change. So there's many, many different things that we can do on many different levels. I mean, you can stop eating meat, or you eat meat once a month or once a week, because meat, 1 kilogram of meat takes 16,000 liters of water, and then I'm not talking about the pollution and the monocultures. And so there's many, many different things that we can do. You can eat.
See more from Normal is Over at the Normal Theater and at Illinois Wesleyan University, and hear from our interview subject today, Renee Scheltema, the author and reporter of this documentary. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for talking to me.